God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Good evening, my brothers because and sisters. Once again, this is your brother Paul, often coming to you live on my own Facebook page. And also some are watching me from YouTube and also Spotify Radio. How are you all? I hope everyone is doing well. I'm also doing well. We're going to continue our study, which we started about 5 weeks now. Tonight is part 5, and the title is The Unknown God. We've been studying about this unknown God for the past 5 weeks. And today, what we are going to talk about is the silence of this God, the silence of God. Now we are saying that God Almighty, the creator of our universe, is hidden from the sight of man. So we say the unknown God, we don't know him. But he has showed himself in so many ways so that we can feel his presence and we can know him better. Though we are not going to see him physically, because our God is invisible. Our God cannot be seen. The scripture says no one can see God and live. But God has shown himself in the forms that we can be comfortable with. It is important to learn this. To those people who, say that they are believers of God, probably this will sound like, oh, we know this already. But even that, there are some people who claim they believe in God, but still they shake with their, with their faith. They are not sure because they cannot see God. And it is, well, everybody is saying, so I should say it. And that is what we call blind faith. If you don't really believe, but because everybody is, saying, and then you also have to say it, that is not real belief. Now you have to have faith that this God is there. And it is not only, clinging on this faith, but you have to see some evidence to help your faith to be strong. And this is what we're trying to do. Now, last week, we talked about this God and how he showed himself in so many ways. Now, to sum up what we have learned so far, okay, we said God has revealed himself to man in three main ways, which can be verified. Now, first, God revealed himself through his creation. God has shown himself through his creation. Now, David says, when you read Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4, David says, when I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, when I look at the moons and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of? What is man? So to David, the work that God has done, tells him that God is indeed alive. Now, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for his invisible attribute, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Paul also is saying that God has revealed himself through the things that he made. And that is why he said nobody has an excuse. So the first one is God revealed himself through his creation, which is true. And the second one is that God has revealed himself through his inspired word, which is the Bible, which is the Bible. Now, the scripture says that Jesus Christ, when he came, into our world, God, when he came to our world, in the form of man, he did many signs, many miracles in the presence of his disciples, which were not written down in the Bible. So when you read John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31, verse 31 says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. When we say Christ, that is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That is John 20, 30 to 31. So God also has revealed himself in his word. There is something that he has written it down for us through, his people that he chose. And these people wrote down everything that God wants us to know. And it's all in the Bible. And Peter says, I want you to know this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from man's own interpretation or imagination. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what Peter is trying to say, now we read this from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. What Peter is trying to say is, the scripture that we have, what is written in, is not from man's imagination or from someone's own interpretation. But this prophecy, these revelations that we have in the Bible, it is God who spoke through some men to be written down. And these men wrote these down with the help of the Holy Spirit. So God has also shown himself in his word that he gave to the world. So when you take the Bible, you see the handwriting of God through holy men that he selected. If you look at the Bible, about 40 men wrote the Bible. You understand? And the scripture is saying that they did not write this from their own imagination. It was God, the Holy Spirit, who guided them to put it down. Because God wanted us to know what he, God, wants. So everything is penned down for us. And point number three is God also has shown himself through his visitation to our world in the form of man, Jesus Christ. The Almighty God, the creator of our universe, he showed himself through his visitation to man. So, if you read Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 19, verse 15 says, he, that is God, or Jesus, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. When Paul was writing to the believers in Colossae, he said, Jesus is in the image of the invisible God. We say God is invisible. No one has seen God, but Paul is saying that the Jesus that you saw is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, sometimes when you use this phrase that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, people become confused. There are some religious groups who even say that because of this phrase in the scriptures, that firstborn of all creation, so Jesus Christ was created, or Jesus Christ was the first being to be created by God. That is not what it means. That's not what it means. Now, this firstborn that the Bible is using here, now, the Jews understand this better. Because, according to the Old Testament, all firstborns of Jewish people have to be dedicated to God. They belong to God. So they are special. They are precious. If you are a firstborn son, you are so special. So it is in that term that God, or the Bible, is using the firstborn here for Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ was born by God, meaning that God gave birth to Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ was, you know, created. Now, God was in the form of human as Jesus Christ. Okay? He is God. He is the creator. And he was not a creature. He is the creator. Right? And John said, from the beginning, he was there. And through him, everything was created. So, Jesus Christ is God. So, the firstborn, as is, I'm saying here, used for Jesus Christ, doesn't mean that Jesus Christ was a created being, but rather, he was special to God, and that God has given him to man. So, we saw him as a man, but he is God that visited our planet. So, God has also revealed himself through his visitation. Now, when you read Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, it says, for in him, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In Jesus Christ, you can see the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Again, the scripture says, when you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, God was manifested in the flesh. Okay? Vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nation, believed on the world, and taken up in the glory. He was talking about Jesus Christ, but he said he manifested himself, what? In the flesh. He manifested in the flesh. Okay? God showed himself in the flesh. So when God was on this planet as the man Jesus and was ready to go back to heaven, he made a promise to the people the people that were following him at that time, the believers. He said to them that he was going to return someday to redeem the faithful ones to heaven. In John chapter 14 verse 1 to 6, Jesus made this promise that I am going back. I will come and, you know, take you to where I am. John chapter 14. Now, we don't know when Jesus is going to return. But in order for the faithful ones to be kept saved, he made a promise to establish his church. If you read Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 to 20, you see that Jesus made a promise there, I will build my church. He made a promise to establish his church on earth, which will serve as a place of refuge for the redeemed until he returns. He came to our planet for 3 good years and was ready to go. But he was not going to leave the people as orphans. So he said, I'm going to build my church. And if we read the scriptures, you see that people who were saved were being put in the church for safekeeping. Now, he also promised the apostles the coming of the Holy Spirit to help them with the establishment of this church. He told them, I'm going to establish my church. I will build my church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. But Jesus was going back. How was he going to build a church? How was he going to establish the church? So he gave them promise that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, listen, I'm using the masculine gender here. And when he comes, the Spirit comes, he is going to help them to establish the church. So if you read Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 6, the last day Jesus was about to ascend onto heaven, he called his disciples, or the apostles. He called the apostles, okay, and gave this promise to them that the Holy Spirit will come and help them to establish the church. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. He said, when the Spirit comes on you, you are going to receive power and you're going to be my witness from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. So God, the Holy Spirit, was going to help them to establish the church into all over the world. Now Jesus, after this promise, he ascended onto heaven. That's between AD 33 and 34. Now, after this, God the Holy Spirit indeed came down, if you read Acts chapter 2, and physically worked with the apostles and some of the early believers in the first century until the church that Jesus promised was firmly grounded on earth. Because the work of the Holy Spirit was to come and help them establish the church that Jesus promised. And after the church was established, he held the apostles until all of them died, and the Holy Spirit finished his work. That is the physical work that he was doing with the apostles. So after the death of all the apostles, the physical presence of the Holy Spirit through the signs and wonders was seized. That was getting to the end of the first century. So there are so many things you read from the New Testament about the work of the Holy Spirit. These were done so that the church that Jesus Christ promised them will be established and firmly grounded on earth, so that will be, the believers will be kept in the church until Jesus returned the second time. And since that time, God has been silent. The Holy Spirit is no more working miraculously as he did in the first century. So from that time up to today that I am talking to you, God is no more communicating with man or humans in any form except one. I repeat, since that time, that is, after the apostles' death, God has been silent and is no more communicating with man in any form except one, which is through his word. God is now communicating with man only through his word. No human intervention here. Now, since, let's check this. The silence of God from the past 2,000 years has created a vacuum for Satan to fill in by recruiting people to fight against God. Because from the time the death of the apostles, and God is no more using signs and wonders, because the work of the Holy Spirit was to help the establishment of the church. And when the church was established, it's no more doing that. And Jesus Christ has also gone back to heaven where he came from, leaving us his word, which is the written word. And now there's no more communication between God and human except what is written in his holy book. And because God is silent, Satan has taken advantage of this and recruiting people to fight against the existence of Jehovah God. And that is why today you hear many saying that there is no God, because they don't see him. God has kept silence almost for the past 2,000 years. He's not communicating in any form at all. Those people who say that they are doing wonders and miracles performing this, these are all not true. You understand? And some are also doing this with the help of the devil. Some are using occultic spirit practices and doing all this. But the new way that God was speaking to people, he's no more doing that. And that has, you know, come to an end. Now, the only way that God is speaking to man is only through the Bible. And that is what we call this, the silence of God. Because God has been silent for this past 2,000 years, almost, Satan is using people to fight against Jehovah God. And they are saying there is no God. As if that is not enough, he's also brought, you know, brought confusion into the Christian religion. So that the original Christianity, which was practiced by the early disciples, is not what we see today. People are doing all sort of things in the name of Christianity, which are leading so many people astray. We have a lot of false prophets today, and they are there because people are no more feeling the presence of God. These people are taking advantage, you understand, to say that God speaks to them. And people believe them, and they are deceiving many, many people. You understand? Now, similar situation was observed in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, where false prophets took advantage of God's silence and claimed they were speaking on behalf of Jehovah God. The same thing happened. For so many centuries, Israel did not hear the voice of God. So, false prophets came and said that, well, God is saying A, B, or Z. But these were all false prophets. Until God spoke to through Jeremiah, the prophet, and says, if you read Jeremiah 23, you see that God is condemning all these false prophets that, I don't know you people. I've not spoken to you. Why are you saying you are getting revelation from me? And today, people are saying they get revelation from God. But God is no more revealing anything to any man. All that God wants us to know is all written in the scriptures for us. And that is what Jesus left for us. You understand? Through the Holy Spirit, about 40 men wrote down what God wants mankind to know and put it together, what we call the Bible. God is no more going to reveal anything to any man today. So do not be deceived. In Jeremiah's time, the same thing happened. If you read Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21, God said, I did not send these prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. You see, there are people. Now, where I come from, my country, Ghana, you see people all the time claiming that they've got prophecy, from God. These are all liars. You understand? They are all false prophets. They are not from God. Because today, God does not speak through anyone. He's given us his final word, which is the Bible. And that is what he wants you and I to read and know what he is telling us. Jesus knew Satan would take advantage of his absence in the flesh and start deceiving many. And therefore, he warned. If you read Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Jesus knew this, and that is why he sounded that caution. But people soon forget all this. They read the Bible, but they don't take, particular attention to all these warnings that Jesus gave. No one received any revelation from God, not in dreams, not anywhere. All that God wants us to know in these silent years is found in his holy book, the Bible. He does not speak through any human being. So Jesus said, you have to be careful because there are people who will come to you as sheep, but they are wolves. Therefore, do not be deceived. God does not speak through any human being today as he did in the past. You see, the Hebrew writer made it clear. He said God has spoken. If you read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer said, in the time past, God spoke in many ways. But today, in our time, he has spoken. Okay? He has spoken to us through his son. So God is no more going to, speak. He's already spoken to us through his son when Jesus Christ came. And Jesus also, everything he said is written down. There are so many things Jesus did not reveal it to the apostles. But he said to them that, when the Holy Spirit come on you, he is going to remind you of everything that I have taught you and even tell you what I have not, given to you. So, through the Holy Spirit, the people also got to know what God wants us today to know, and they wrote everything down. So, if you want to hear God's voice, don't let anybody deceive you. God is not going to whisper to you. He's not going to visit you in dreams. He's not going to appear like angel. And there's nobody coming from anywhere to say that I've been sent by God. These revelations, they are done and gone. Everything is written down in the scriptures. So these silent years of God, God has given us the way that we can communicate with him. Hear his voice in the Bible and do as he tells us. That is what God, wants us to know. The Bible is there for us. Even though we do not, walk by sight, but we walk by faith. What I mean is, in our era, because God is not communicating directly with humans and showing himself as he did in the past to Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and also came down, revealed himself as human to the apostles and, to the Jews 2,000 years ago, we do not see God in that way. That's why I'm saying, even though we walk by faith and not by sight, we are not at any disadvantage for not seeing what the early believers saw. Probably you say that, oh, they saw Jesus. Sometimes you hear people saying that, these people saw Jesus, so they are better than us. That is not true. That's not true. We're going to read some things to you. And you see that these people were humans like us. Were humans like us. It is important to know that today we are also blessed as those who earlier believe in God, because God revealed his presence in many ways to them. Probably, if they have not seen God in these ways, they would also not believe. And I'll give you an example. You see, They saw God through angels. They saw God through miracles and signs. They saw God through visions. They heard voices of God. And finally, God revealed himself in human form to them. But I'm still saying that they are not of any advantage than us. Simply because Jesus says this thing. When he resurrected, and one of his apostles wouldn't believe that Jesus, it was Jesus who had come back to life. Let's listen to the conversation. When you read John the Gospel, chapter 20, verse 39. When Jesus came in the midst of his apostles, there was one apostle that was not there, and that is Thomas. And when Thomas came, Jesus has, you know, departed from them. And the apostle told him that Jesus, our Savior, has risen, and we have seen him. He has appeared to us. Thomas said, no, I will never believe this. Have you seen anybody died and come back to life? I will never believe this. Unless I see him. Unless I touch the scars of, you know, the nails that were nailed in the hands, or the scars of the spear on the side. Unless I touch it, I will not believe. Now, when they were talking, Jesus appeared to them again. And then Jesus, standing in front of Thomas, said to Thomas, well, I am here now. This is my hand. You can touch the scars. Feel the scars. And this is the side of the spear. You feel it. And Thomas touched the scars, felt the sign, and then he said, oh my God, I now believe that you have risen. Do you know what Jesus told him? Jesus said, John chapter 20, verse 29, you have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet they have believed. If Thomas has not touched Jesus' wound, he wouldn't have believed it. So they are no different from us. Today, some people want to see Jesus Christ. They want to see God coming to them. They want to see something before they believe in God. So what difference does it make if Thomas wants to see before he believes? This means we are more blessed for believing his resurrection, even though we were not there, than Thomas, who only believed after touching the resurrected body. Okay? Again, also, we are blessed for believing his resurrection than Peter, who refused to believe when the ladies came to tell them that Jesus is risen. They refused to believe until he beheld the empty tomb. Peter said, no, I can't believe this. I have to go and see it myself. Jesus said, blessed are those who did not see, yet they believe. And Jesus is talking about us. That happened 2,000 years ago. We were not there to witness the resurrected body. But we believe. And Jesus said, blessed are you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that it's God who came down? Do you believe that he died for you? We are more blessed for believing God's existence than Moses, who only believed because he heard God speaking in the burning bush. Probably these men and women of faith wouldn't have believed if they had not seen what they saw. What you have to understand is, these people were humans like us and do not have any advantage over us because they felt the physical presence of Jehovah God in various ways. They don't have advantage over us at all because we who did not see and have believed, Jesus said, we are blessed. My brothers and sisters, I don't want to take much of your time, so I want to end here to tell you that we are in the silent year of God because God is not communicating with us through dreams, through miracles, through angels, nothing. But He is only communicated to us through His Word, which is the Bible. The Hebrew writer said, God has already spoken, and all the revelations we need to know was given through Jesus Christ and is written down. Don't let anybody deceive you, because as I said, in the time of Jeremiah the prophet, God was silent for so many centuries, and false prophets, false teachers took advantage of God's absence in all things that He was doing and claimed that God was speaking to them. Today, God is not speaking to anybody. God is not showing Himself to any man, not in dreams, not in signs, not in anything. Those people who are claiming they are doing wonders, they are doing miracles, they are all faking, and some of them are using occultic practices to do what they are doing, because everything God wants you and I to know is all written in His holy book. And to those who want to believe, see something before they believe in God, what is the guarantee that after seeing Him, you continue to believe in Him? Let me tell you, Israel interacted with God in many ways, to the extent that God dropped food, manna from heaven, for them to eat. They ate it for 40 good years. Even when they were thirsty and on the wilderness, they were no water, God gave them water through rock. With all this, it got to a point Israel said, we don't have God. There's no God. The God that delivers from Egypt is this golden calf. What is the guarantee? It is a time that you drop all this kind of arguments you do about God and start seeking God. Because God is all around you, and you are the evidence. He's shown Himself to you through His creation, through the holy book, which is the Bible, and then also came down as a man so that you can see. You have all this to believe. If you don't believe, Paul says, no one has any excuse for not believing in God to say that, well, I didn't know, because God has shown Himself in many ways and has spoken. His word is there to go and read. God bless you. If you get time, please visit the Church of Christ. Church of Christ is everywhere in the world. Every country you have the Church of Christ there, look for them. They will tell you the truth, which will help you to get salvation. Jesus is coming back. This time, He's not coming to stay with us as He stayed with us for 3 good years, but He's coming to back to redeem the saved, and also to give judgment. Where are you going to stand when Jesus appears to you today? God bless you. If you are watching me from YouTube, please subscribe to my channel. Give me a thumb up and share with other people too, so that we all come to know that indeed the Creator, God Jehovah, is alive, and He has shown Himself many ways to mankind. Because He loves us so much, He came down to stay with man, and He is coming back, His promise. Have you prepared to meet God the Almighty? God bless you.